Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we interview founders who have raised funds, purchased companies, taken companies public, sold companies, and are creating disruptive and innovative technology for the world today. Our special guest is Nikos Vekarides, CEO of Attestive, a cybersecurity company authenticating photos, videos, and documents by utilizing advanced tech in AI and tamper proofing. Their technology offers unrivaled fraud prevention for the masses. Well, I'm really excited to dive into this podcast today, get to know you a little bit better, like I said, personally and professionally. So the first question I just absolutely love to ask people is, what does entrepreneurship mean to you?
Well, to me, it means being able to start working on an opportunity from scratch, literally creating something out of nothing. I'm a three-time founder at this point, so this is my third go around, and it's great. It's a great opportunity to build a company, to create something of value, and also bring on employees who really value the experience of working on something that's on the cutting edge, very innovative, and oftentimes making a difference in the world.
You know, that's one of those things that us as entrepreneurs are constantly trying to do is push through boundaries, push through limiting beliefs, and really cause and create impact in the world. So share with me a little bit about the impact that you have been influenced by in the people in your life, and then also what is your driving force and the why behind the impact that you're wanting to make today?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly evolved over time. I mean, it's, you know, my background was largely technology-based, so and in the software space. And in the software space, you always think of you can do anything, right? It's just a matter of writing the right software. And, you know, we've reached a point in time where it's becoming more and more true with AI and other technologies that really, really accelerate this, but that was always my goal, is to bring sort of this cutting edge technology, and my focus in particular over most of my career was sort of storing and protecting customer data, and then of course the data is the most important element of any organization. Oftentimes it may contain the intellectual property, or it may be customer data. And you have to do certainly spend a lot of time and sort of a lot of planning on how to protect this. And you're protecting it against viruses. You're protecting it against data breaches. And what brought me to today is the last two companies that I've done were really focused on storing and protecting data. And first it was in the data center, then it was in the cloud. But the one thing that we sort of left on the table and we saw sort of coming into being is the question of, is this data real? Is this data authentic? Is this data valid, right? And it took a whole new meaning back in around 2018, 2019, when my co-founder and I started putting this company together, because there was a lot going on in the world and people were saying, wow, this you know, I'm hearing about news. I don't know whether it's real or not. At the same time, all these technologies have come about that somewhat can distort reality, right? Sort of the deep fakes, if you will. And at the time, they were this interesting curiosity. Oh, you know, who uses fake videos? They just, you know, you have to be some kind of crazy expert to do this. And suddenly, we're at the point today where that technology is in the hands of everyone. And everyone can create these fakes that can cause disinformation, misinformation, but at the same time can really wreak havoc on someone's business.
I'm seeing that, and I think we're all seeing that now with the advent of social media and the ability for people to also create so many different things with artificial intelligence. I mean, I know Canva is a wonderful thing. You can create a lot of things from it, right? Video content is on the rise everywhere we look. So share with us a little bit more about what has sparked your entrepreneurial bug. And was there anyone in your past who was and did have a large influence in your life?
Well, certainly, you know, that's an interesting one. You know, somehow it might be, you know, something I was born with. I remember when I first started doing my entrepreneurial journeys, you know, relatives, parents would say, why can't you just take a regular job just like anybody else? You know, why do you have to do things this way? You know, you have the credentials to do that. And you know, it was really just sort of a personal goal where I felt like, you know, there's sort of enough technology, enough that, you know, you can do things and you can move, you know, very rapidly and in a very nimble way with small groups of people. And I think what really brought that into being were my first work outside of college, where I wound up working on an advanced development team. So we had sort of a big company that was kind of moving at this glacial pace, you know, happens in a lot of industries. And we were able to do things where we literally became the next generation product with about a tenth of the team that the other side had. And it kind of shows you that, you know, if you take, you know, if you cut some of the bureaucracy and red tape and, you know, sometimes some of the process, I mean, obviously you need process in order to succeed, otherwise things may go awry. But with a small group, a motivated team, you can do a lot. And that sort of stuck with me. And I said, you know, I really want to do this type of work where we're working with smaller teams and we can make a big difference. And, you know, I've always wanted to have, you know, an impact on society. The worst thing, the worst experience I've had is working at companies where I do the same thing every day and I feel like there's no progress and I have nothing to show and perhaps no one really cares.
Yeah, I see that. And I think we've all experienced that. Those that are out there, I know you guys have too. So let's ask you a question about the position that you currently have as the CEO of Attestive. And what does your day-to-day look like for CEO? And what are the responsibilities do you feel are important for you as the leader of this company?
Well, as a CEO, I feel like I'm always selling. So, you know, I'm always selling something. It's you know, we're selling to customers all the time. So I'm getting in front of prospects in order to sell. But also, you know, I'm selling a vision. I'm selling a vision to my investors. Also selling the same vision to my employees, right? They sort of have to see where this is going, where the company is headed, and what the end goals are. So that's, you know, sort of at a very high level, that's my job. And to make sure that, you know, process is in place where needed. So whether it's a sales process, whether it's beefing up our team on the marketing side, whether it's digging into the technology because I have that background, just to keep everybody on. I mean, it's sort of keeping everybody honest, but on the other hand, I think, you know, I think my engineering team appreciates that as well, is to have somebody who actually cares about the product and can also provide some feedback.
Yeah, I see that as many CEOs, you know, they cast vision and they're constantly sharing that within the company, externally and internally. And that culture plays a major role in how you start to shape where you're going as a company, right? And then also how you're going to step into that future self. So can you explain a little bit about the future culture of the company that you're creating and the vision you see that you guys are, you know, stepping into?
Yeah, I think and the culture is also, you know, making sure that people in the company also have the same type of drive and the same type of interest in making a difference. Certainly, you know, there are lots of places where people can make money and do things that are somewhat interesting. But here, you know, the culture is I try to make sure everybody is out on the front lines. So, you know, everybody from the company has some time in front of customers. Everybody in the company spends time together so that they can hear what's going on. And having that type of transparency and openness, I've been doing this for many years. It's really the transparency and openness that really creates the value. I mean, there's sort of a lot of things you can do to sort of help build out the culture. You know, you can take everybody on a hike, for instance, which is helpful. But on the other hand, it's really the day-to-day. Hey, do I feel engaged? Do I feel like I'm making a difference? It's sort of, you know, putting myself in everybody else's shoes. I know what it feels like to be some, you know, at a company working on something that may go nowhere versus, hey, we can really do this. We can make a difference. And we're all together on the front lines and seeing the progress every day.
Yes. Share with us a little bit about that vision and the difference that you guys are making to create full transparency with the technology company that you are building. I'm excited to hear more about that.
Oh, yeah. So what we do is we provide authenticity for photos, videos, and documents. So in this world where there are deep fakes, there are ways to generate fake documents. A lot of people find themselves in the position of trying to figure out, you know, hey, is this real? We're seeing it in the news today. I mean, there's photos coming in from wars where you know, people are saying it's fake. Is it real? Being able to have a technology, an AI-based technology, so we're the AI that helps regulate AI, if you will. You know, this photo is fake, this photo was generated, this photo was edited, this is backdated, the location was changed. All of these types of things, you know, are very important in this age where it's so easy to distort reality. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to bring in some controls, some ways for largely starting with businesses, because that's kind of where we saw the biggest problem was. Businesses stand to lose the most because it hits their top line and bottom line in many cases.
Can you share with us an instance where you had made progress or a story? Is there anything that stands out that you could recall?
Absolutely. I mean,
use case, basically.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of use cases, and we started with insurance. We started talking, you know, across multiple industries when we first started the company, and then we moved into insurance, and there's a lot of fraud there. So there's about $300 billion in annual fraud in the U.S. alone. So that's an enormous number. So when we go into insurance carriers, what they do is that, you know, from day one, they give us a whole pile of photos. So, you know, sometimes they're older, sometimes they're fairly recent, but they give us a lot of claims that have already been settled. And it gives us an opportunity to come in, analyze them, look and see what we find and tell them what they missed. And a lot of times we are finding things that they sometimes miss, whether it's hey, these photos that you thought were photos are actually screenshots, or maybe some of these were pulled down from the web, or some of these were edited in Photoshop. Perhaps dates were changed, times were changed. You know, there's very, you know, simple fraud examples. We run into for renter's insurance. Sometimes people download photos and say, well, you know, we've had theft occur. And all of these items were stolen, and suddenly we're looking at a bunch of stock photos, and we can trace them back to where they came from. So really, we've been able to cut down on that. We've been able to give our insurance customers, you know, like RepWest, who's the insurer for U-Haul, we've been able to give them a way to prevent this type of fraud. And also what happens is their customers know that they have tools like ours in the background. So in some way, it also serves as a deterrent for fraud as well. So we're sort of attacking this large market. We have a lot of great use cases here. But in the meantime, the problem is spreading into many other areas, right? The financial services, now lately media companies are coming to us and saying, well, you know, we don't want to be caught airing fake videos or fake photos because it could damage our reputation. And again, this is places where our software can make a big impact.
What are some of the difficulties that you face as a company, and what are some of the ways that you would advise people out there to handle adversity within the development of their company?
Well, there's a lot of areas. I mean, certainly there's sort of the founder's journey, if you will, where I've been through it a couple of times, and it's a roller coaster ride. You know, when we first rolled this out, interestingly, you know, we launched our product in 2020, and we set up our, you know, our big launch in March of 2020. And everybody knows what happened in March of 2020. Well, that's when COVID hit. So we launched our company, and really nobody was paying attention to what was going on with our company, including customers. So it dealt quite a setback there, right? Hey, this is our big launch, but wait a second, nobody's paying attention. But that's, you know, that's typical. There's so many things going on in the world. You know, how do you get everybody's attention? There's other challenges as well, right? I mean, things have kind of reverted back to normal. There's other challenges as well as, you know, building the team, ensuring that you have the right people. There's technology challenges. When you do a startup, a technology startup in particular, you always face that question of, is this even possible, right? Can we make this work? And getting through that can be a struggle sometimes. Sometimes there's some failures, and there's always failures prior to success. And it's really, you know, being resilient enough to get through those so you can get to that next step. A lot of people say, you know, successful founders will find a way to success, and that's really the key. But you have to be resilient. You can't throw in the towel along the way. You know, we have a difficult AI-based technology where there's successes and failures every day, and we have to grab onto those successes and build on them and forget about the failures really quickly.
With the technology you're building, is it very technical in nature as you guys are developing this? And how do you test, you know, and get the feedback that you're needing? I mean, this maybe is it's a very specific question, but I'm just curious on how you guys are building it.
Yeah, now we're fortunate enough to have customers who are feeding us data on a regular basis.
Okay.
But as when we started, it was, it was really just us. It was a team of us, and we were giving each other, you know, we were creating the photos. We were trying to use some data sets that were available online. Sometimes it's very old data. So if you have, you know, for instance, photos coming from cameras from 10 years ago, they're not very relevant. Even in terms of number of pixels, they're not very relevant with what you have. So we had to scramble. We had to do a lot of scrambling to get our initial data sets. We did go to open source. We actually used some online tools to do some generation. And now we find ourselves in a place where we have enough of a customer base that we see these photos and we can enhance our models as the feedback comes in directly from customers.
Where are you seeing this industry going? And you said it was a multi-billion-dollar industry?
Yeah, certainly if we look at insurance alone, there's a multi-billion-dollar opportunity there. But it goes horizontally well beyond that. So in the banking space, if you think about fraud in documents, We're working with a company that handles mortgage applications, and mortgage applications, your mortgage eligibility is based on things like a W-2, pay stub, bank statements, things of that nature that get submitted. These days, all of that data is automatically extracted from these documents and put into your application. So the question you ask is, well, all the automation is great. Who's actually looking at these documents to make sure that they weren't altered in some way? It's not that difficult to, you know, create your own documents, create your own check stubs, create your own W-2s. And that's, again, that's the type of stuff that we do. We're that automation layer in the middle that helps figure out whether, hey, this application can be handled automatically, and maybe we have to pull this other one aside and give it a little bit more scrutiny.
Okay, so what are you excited about here coming towards the future of your company, and then also personally as you start to, you know, see a little bit more success with this company? And actually, I would ask you too, what is success and the definition of that for you? So, you know, I guess that's a multi-pronged question, but future of the company and then also the future and excitement of yourself.
Yeah, it's certainly success is every time we help stop some element of fraud, right? If we can say, and we do it, you know, in a way that's very, you know, it's kind of, can give you a very good answer on whether something is fraudulent or not fraudulent. But, you know, there's successes that way every day. And the big picture, the success is how many industries we can help. And can we help the even bigger problem that's brewing, which is, we see it in social media, what's real and what's fake, and can we be sort of that lens that you look at everything through that will tell you, hey, that one, you know, this particular photo, this particular video is fake. And doing that in real time so that we can sort of get rid of some of the fear that's going around, that and perhaps the inability to even make decisions anymore or understand who to trust, that's sort of kind of gripping our society. If we can be part of that solution, ultimately that would be the biggest success.
I see that trust is so important as we progress in our professional careers, but also the relationships we build. So what is one relationship that you had? Is there any mentors in your life right now that you have, and then also in the past that have helped you, you know, build what you have today?
Yes, certainly. I've worked with my co-founder for about, I'll just say, over 20 years.
Wow.
I don't want to date myself. but it's been a while, and certainly we work extremely well together. So that's certainly been helpful. I always look to have advisors in the company, so I have a bunch of advisors who have much deeper expertise into industries than I. I mean, I didn't come into this as an insurance person, so I had to get a little bit of mentorship there. Getting up to speed. Now I've been doing this for a few years, so certainly know the ropes a lot better. But there's so many things that we don't know, and it's really sort of the outside mentors and help that do that. I mean, I also mentor other startup founders, and you know, this may sound interesting, is that you know, so I was. I've been doing some work with Founder Institute, and Founder Institute works with first-time founders. And oftentimes, I find myself learning from them. I mean, much as I can help bestow some, you know, some ways of, you know, sort of helping avoid some potholes on their side, I always see them using new tools where things are, you know, they're doing things five times as fast with, you know, five times fewer people. So that's always an eye opener for me. So it kind of, the mentorship is sometimes it goes both ways. So when you go out and mentor people, I find I always learn something in return.
That's important to know. Everybody out there, you better take note of that. Share with us a little bit more about the company's future and what you're excited about at Attestive.
Well, I think with any startup, it's always about growing this and you know, building a successful business. Certainly, there's a lot. We have some blockbuster deals that we closed this year. So one is Insurity, which is a large insurance system that about 500 companies are using today. And
awesome.
We're also working on another big blockbuster deal that will roll out in auto claims. And we're super excited about that because, you know, just about, I'd say a large percentage of auto claims in the U.S. Will potentially go through this system. So it's really the growth that keeps us excited, and then, you know, potentially raising additional funding so that we can grow this company. You know, it's been an interesting journey. We're still small. We're 11 people. We're based out of Lehi here in Utah. But this has been, you know, the other part of the journey that I find fantastic is just the community here in Utah. Seems to be a big supportive tech community. And coming back, you know, I'm originally from Boston. Coming out here, I was really impressed with the tech ecosystem, the amount of events and the networking that goes on here. This is really a great place to start a company.
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. I mean, we host events all the time, and we're seeing hundreds of people come out and connections being made and relationships being developed for not just 1 week or two, it's for years, you know, and we're starting to see that. And then also, just to your point, experience that. So you found a good place to really begin. Man, I'm excited for you. I'm excited for the company and really the development of the future here. So is there any lasting words of wisdom that you'd want to, I guess, give to the founders out there who are starting companies? They are going maybe through some difficulties, but they're seeing some wins. But how do we build on those wins and, you know, ultimately get to a position that you're in today?
Yeah, it's a tough time for founders the last couple of years. So certainly economically, it's been difficult, and raising money has been probably more challenging than I've ever seen it over the last 15 years. So it's quite an interesting time from that point of view. But what I've seen is I've seen a lot of founders out there, and they're still doing it. Certainly, that drive is still there. But it's really, you know, it's really about resilience, staying resilient. If you're a new founder, you know, always have to be prepared for the journey. It's almost like, you know, you have to kind of be at one with sort of a, you know, just foundationally, you know, you have to be at a place where you're ready for just about anything, right?
That's good.
And it's not always, you know, and it's not always just the tech issues or the company issues, you know. It could be family issues, anything, and really sometimes test your commitment to you know, to what you're doing. So really the resilience and the strength, having a good network of people to lean on is super important there as well.
Yeah, we've heard that ring true, and so many other founders on this podcast. And so last question for you is, how can we as a community support you, and how do we get a hold of you? What is the best way to do so? And then also, what is your ask as a company? So you say you're moving into this new maybe fundraising or potential customers and things like that. So share with us there, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, certainly what's next for us is we are looking next year into some additional fundraising. you know, potentially taking us to the next level. You know, at this point, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize that there's tools out there that can help counter some of the negative aspects of AI. A lot of people are talking about the positive aspects of AI, which there's many. And, you know, kind of being positioned as the anti-AI company puts us in a unique position. And, you know, a lot of people say, I never knew this existed, but what a great idea. Slowly it's turning into, I never knew this existed, but I need it tomorrow. So that's really what we're out doing, is to try to get a little bit more awareness that, hey, there are solutions out there for this. It's not the end of the world. We don't have to shut down the development of AI. I've heard that proposed as well, is let's just regulate this so that AI stops, because it's slowly going to take over the world. But on the other hand, as long as you know, you have tools like ours and companies like ours that help offset this, help keep the guardrails in so that things don't go way off, you know, that's a workable solution, and we can help ensure that AI is used for good causes, because it has a huge amount of positive impact as well. So that's really my message, is really, you know, growing the awareness out there. In terms of funding, I think at this point we're finding traction in the industries. And certainly, I'd say, you know, stay tuned as we broaden our product portfolio. We may have something for everyone.
And is it attestive.com?
It's attestive.com. Okay. It's also attestive.ai. So
okay.
At some point, you may hear either or.
Perfect. Well, we just want to say thank you, you know, from myself personally, but also from the group and all those that are listening to this podcast. We just want to say thank you to you for taking the time out of your day to really tune in to another episode of the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we interview amazing founders who are doing incredible things in the world today. If you really love this episode, feel free to share it with your friends, family, across your social channels. And we look forward to shooting another episode for you in the future.